Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever haggled before? You know, like, okay, say you go to a garage sale or you go and you find something on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist and you go to pick it up, or maybe you're just at like a car dealership waiting to get this car, and the first thing you do is you look at the sticker price and you go, I can talk them down, right? I mean, the sticker price is normally set a little bit higher than they're expecting to get anyway, right? They want to make you seem like you're getting a deal. Well, you know, I'll set the sticker for $125, but really I only want like $80, right? That's how it works. And so as the seller knows this, and as the consumer, the buyer, also knows that, you get into this sort of debate, and you go, okay, well, you want $125, well, how about I give you $80? They go, oh, $80's, I can't take $80. How about 100, right? And, you know, eventually you sort of work your way into a happy medium, and then everybody leaves happy, right? You get the product for a little bit less than the sticker price, and the person who is selling generally gets it for probably a little bit more than it's worth. Well, what if you decided to haggle with somebody, right? And say you did finally settle after some debate, you settled on $100. Great, right? You shake hands and you reach into your wallet and then you go, actually, I can't pay more than 90. And so then, you know, the seller will sit there and go, oh, all right, fine. Nope, I'll take 90, not a big deal. So you finally, you open your wallet and you look in and you go, oh man, I left that extra 10 bucks in my pants. The other ones, yeah. I only have 80. Can I give you 80 instead? Would that be all right? Well, that's asking a lot now. I mean, you've already changed the price twice now. Really wants to sell it, okay. 80's fine. It's all you wanted to begin with anyhow, right? Thanks. You know, obviously very gracious of this person to do that. But then, how are you going to eat lunch if you give away all 80 of the dollars in your wallet? Would you take 75? It's ridiculous, right? It would be totally absurd. And in fact, it'd actually be kind of insulting. Like, you're really taking this person for a ride now. You're really taking advantage of their generosity. And yet this is really how it seems Abraham acts towards God in our text for today. It makes us wonder, what kind of man does Abraham really think he is? You're going to be as bold as to haggle and wheel and deal with God? Who are you? But this conversation with Abraham isn't really all that different than our own conversations with God. So often when we pray, what do? God, I want X, Y, or Z. Only we don't pray it as like, hey, like, this would be nice. It's always, this is what I want, and this is what I want now. Give it to me. And when we don't get it, then who do we blame? Well, God, I prayed for it. Where is it? Why didn't you grant me my request? As if somehow God is obligated to do whatever we tell him. We're barking up the wrong tree. In fact, we're almost as bold as Abraham. But even if God does answer in the affirmative, and occasionally we recognize that, right? We ask for something and God gives it, and then what do? Well, thanks a lot, God. That's wonderful. Now that you've given me this, can I also have something else? In our human condition, we are never content to receive exactly what God has given us. We always want just a little bit more. We always want just a little bit extra. God, can you sweeten the deal just a little? Our prayer is just as imperfect as we are as sinners. Abraham said, dust. But what's even worse than lifting up an imperfect prayer to God is when we don't lift up our prayers at all. When life becomes too busy, or maybe even worse, when we go, actually, God, this isn't that big a deal. I think I got this one on my own. As if God isn't the one who provides us with everything we need for this body and life. As if God isn't the one who provides us with everything in this entire world. one instant away from God and everything would literally fall apart. Or maybe worse, right? Maybe we don't pray because we consider that, well, God's just going to do what God's going to do anyway. Right? We become fatalists, as if prayer doesn't matter. But as we look back to Genesis, notice that Abraham isn't praying the way he is because he thinks he's calling the shots. He is being very bold, but it's not because he thinks that somehow he's got God pinned down. He's not trying to manipulate with God. He's not trying to haggle God into a better deal. He is pleading with God. On his knees, pleading that God might be merciful. And why would this mercy be so important? Not only does God's good name on the line, right? He has to save the righteous and reward good, right? And then punish evil. And so, you know, you can't mix those things up or God fails to be just. But who's in Sodom and Gomorrah? It's Abraham's relative, Lot. He knows that's where his family member is. And so he pleads with God, God, I know you want to do this wrath and destruction thing. I know the cry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and I know this is what they deserve. But what if there are some good people there? So what does God do? He listens. Six times Abraham pleads with God, and six times God answers in the affirmative. Yes, Abraham, I'll do what you ask. For 50, for 45, 40, 30, 20, even for 10 people, I won't destroy the city. And because of Abraham's prayer, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah has more mercy from God than they would have had otherwise. This won't be the last time that God uses Abraham to bless somebody else. In fact, he continues to bless Abraham's family over and over, and all of the nations of the Old Testament are blessed because of Abraham, and even unto today. The New Testament church, you gathered here, you are blessed because of Abraham. Because coming down the line of Abraham's family, we eventually make it to our Savior, to Jesus. And if God was going to be merciful towards Abraham, he's even more merciful to us through his Son. Now we have the whole story. We know how merciful God is because he doesn't even spare himself. Jesus willingly goes to the cross that way he might bless you. That way you might get a picture and see what sort of mercy God has. Because the truth is that we all deserve a Sodom and Gomorrah. The fire and brimstone that God rained down on those places, that's what our sin deserves. And yet we pray, as we do in the confession, God be merciful to me. I know I deserve your punishment. Forgive me. What does Jesus do? He takes Sodom and Gomorrah from you. And he endures all of the heat of God's wrath as he bleeds and he dies on the cross. It's done. All of the sin of the world on his shoulders. And what's left for you? But God's mercy. God's forgiveness. God's love poured out over you day in and day out. So will God answer your prayer? And the truth is that we still live in a world where all sorts of evil things happen, where all sorts of different things befall us, and we need God's help. And so we lift up our prayer saying, God, answer. Be merciful. Grant this request, not because you're obligated, but because I understand your mercy. Because I know that you will give me every good thing because you've already shown me in your Son. So he does. He not only gives you forgiveness in your baptism, forgiveness as we consume the supper, forgiveness as you hear the words preached and read and you believe them. But every day his mercies come down to you as you have food to fill your body, as you have medicine that will sustain your life, as you have doctors and nurses and family members who will care for you throughout the entire existence of your time on this earth. And what's more, but even those sitting next to you in the pews today, the family of faith. We gather together that we might care for one another. Why? Because this is how God shows mercy. He knows we need each other. He knows that we're fallen. He knows that we're fragile. And so he lifts us up in all of the ways that he knows are best. My friends, Abraham seems rather bold in this text. But just like Abraham, we don't have to haggle with God. We don't have to try to convince him or manipulate him into working for us. He's already ready to do that. In fact, he already does. And he's given us the gift of prayer. The gift of being able to go to him with our requests. The gift of being bold before his throne. Because we know he is merciful. May this day and every day, may God continue to pour out his mercy on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.